Welcome to Behind the Game, the Kids in the Game official podcast, where we cover the intersection of youth development, sports, education, and technology in the New York City landscape.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 18 of Behind the Game, Kids in the Game's official podcast. On this episode, I was joined by my colleague Tatum Binky and Jesse Cerati. Jesse is a local youth organizer and community activist from Astoria, Queens, who is running for city council in 2021. Awesome episode where we dive into his campaign and all the things he is passionate about. Without further ado, give it a listen. Okay, we are now joined by Jesse Cerati. He is a youth organizer and community activist from Astoria. Jesse, welcome to our office. Appreciate you coming by.
Thank you for having me.
So, we got a ton of things to talk about, but actually, our producer and myself are from Connecticut. So, how did you end up at the University of Hartford?
How did I end up at the University of Hartford? Sorry, good way to start. I got there because I was looking for, at the time, I was interested in studying film, documentary filmmaking, and they had a really wonderful program, and to my surprise, they actually let me in.
Nice.
And I studied film there for the first half of my undergraduate degree, ended up becoming a psychology major at the end of my sophomore year.
It's a big shift.
It was a big shift. I kept my minor in filmmaking and still have a love and passion for all things film. But ultimately, I made the move into studying school psychology. I have, you know, even back in college, I spent my summers working at summer camps and really found my passion in youth development work, working with kids kind of really of all ages. And kind of psychology was an interesting way to let me, you know, stay involved in sciences and also, you know, it kind of just went hand in hand with the youth work that I enjoyed doing as well.
Got it. That's a good transition. So how did you, after Hartford, how did you get involved in the camp scene?
Yeah, so that was actually something I started my like freshman year of college. And I grew up in summer camps, spent every year of my life going to different summer camps.
And are you originally from New York?
So I was born in Boston.
Okay.
A lot of my family. Sure. A lot of my family is originally from Queens.
Okay.
This is actually where my grandmother had come at the end of the Holocaust. My mom was born here, and so I really had a connection to Queens and was excited to be able to move here once I graduated college.
Got it. Okay. How long were you a camp director or in the camp scene?
Yeah, I've worked 8 years now at summer camps, 5 at one camp, and then I worked full-time year-round for about 2 years at another. And this past summer, I actually kind of got to go in the first year of a new camp program. It was a surf and spirituality summer camp that spent a few weeks overnight on Virginia Beach and then a few weeks here at the Rockaways just doing a day camp. So, you know, I'm a huge, huge summer camp activist.
Surf and spirituality.
Surf and spirituality. It was really a wonderful, you know, it's a really wonderful program. And, you know, it was the first year that they had it, so I was kind of cool to kind of see what it was like on the ground level of doing that as an overnight experience.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay, so you've been involved in the camp scene for a ton of years. What, before we get into Jesse for City Council, which we're excited to talk about, what led you to that? What other experiences in between the camp and that?
Yeah, I mean, I've been interested in local organizing for a long time as well, both local also on the national level as well. I've been involved in a variety of progressive campaigns. You know, I think a lot of it started back out the way a lot of people that I organize with today was back in late 2015 when Bernie Sanders announced that he was running for president. You know, I knew of the senator ahead of time and was really excited by his campaign, and then living in Astoria, I also live in the district where we elected Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, so I've been able to organize on a lot of these different campaigns, including hers, including Tiffany Caban, who ran for Queens District Attorney, as well as being part of other local organizing efforts, such as keeping Amazon out of Long Island City. This past year, I ran a campaign. I was one of the people running a campaign for ranked choice voting, which is a way that puts more power into the voters' hands might be able to rank your candidates as opposed to just getting one vote. You kind of get a second and third choice in case your first choice has the least amount of votes. So improving the democratic processes, getting to work on a bunch of local campaigns. And, you know, but I think that paired with my love for doing youth organizing and youth education, you know, the policies that most, that the city council put forward, the people that they're going to affect the most are going to be the youth, are going to be the next generation. And we're also seeing a lot of youth leadership coming up right now. Groups like Sunrise Movement, groups like Our Progressive Future. These are youth leaders who want to make a difference in the community because they see the local, you know, what we have left behind. And, you know, when it comes to the planet, when it comes to equal access to education, those things don't exist the way they did, you know, a few decades ago. So I want to make sure that those kids that I get to organize with on a daily basis, make sure that they have a seat at the table, a front seat at the table.
Yeah, super important. Did you always want to get involved in politics, or do you think because you were involved in cool campaigns that that motivated you to do it? Or maybe a little bit of both?
I just realized the term, like, campaign. It's like summer campaign. I've always been interested in politics. And I still don't even think of myself as, like, even though I'm running for a local office, I don't look at myself as a politician. I'm not running to be another city council member. I'm running to help transform the system that we have in place, which is making it harder for the next generation to survive and to thrive in both here in New York City and also across the country.
All right, so a little background of Jesse and myself is we actually lived together back in Colorado. We both were going to grad school, and Jesse, I don't know, about 6 months in, had this amazing opportunity for assistant camp director role. And me being a West Coast gal, I didn't quite understand why that was such an amazing opportunity, why he would leave grad school to come do a whole summer camp gig. And then fast forward 2 years, I moved to New York City and I truly got to see what summer camp culture is about. Kids in the Game runs 5 summer camps, soon to be 6 ourselves. So I truly do get it. So I'm interested what your thoughts are entering the political scene, of what role you see government playing in providing summer opportunities for kids. Part of New York City is obviously there's a huge opportunity gap. There's kids that have and kids that don't. So I'm just interested to see what your thoughts are on if that's something that government should get their hands in.
I think yes. Pretty simply, I think there should be equal opportunity for kids to have after school program access and as well as summer camp access. And actually, it's really exciting right now that there are some really amazing city council members who are putting together, putting forward this type of legislation for free summer camp availability for all New York City students, as well as universal after school programming as well. You know, a lot of it's still going to be held up probably for a long time, as a lot of these legislative issues are. I think, yes, we need to, I look at an organization like Kids in the Game, and actually an organization like the one that my mom works for a nonprofit as well, that serves the aging and disabled. She's been doing that for over 30 years, and I sometimes joke with her that, you know, your organization shouldn't have to exist. You know, these should be opportunities that are offered by the city, by the state. That this is, that if you're a youth, if you are someone who needs equal opportunity to housing, to healthcare, as someone who's older, there should be opportunities there for you provided by your city and state. Unfortunately, that doesn't really happen the way it should. And so organizations like Kids in the Game have risen up to the challenge to provide for those who really need it. So one, thank you for the work that you're doing. It's tremendous. I do look at other issues such as, all right, what about public funding for public schools even? There's the Campaign for Fiscal Equity, which was a lawsuit that was put forward. It's a state issue, not a city issue, but essentially saying that public schools are not providing proper education equitably to the students, and it was a lawsuit that was formed by parents in the city, and they won this lawsuit, and this has been years and years and years and years in the making now, and the state still owes $4.1 billion in funding. Over $4 billion in funding, and there's no clear timeline as to when that's actually going to be provided. So it's like, great, I'm excited that they have these ideas for mandatory after-school programs, for free summer camps for kids in the city. How soon is that going to be prioritized? I don't know. One of the reasons why I'm running for city council is to make sure that youth are continuously represented in all my platforms. That regardless of what we're talking about, whether it's when it comes to criminal justice reforms, when it comes to housing, and when it comes to issues such as summer camps, that we make sure that youth are being represented across the board.
Yeah, for sure. We actually went to the city council meeting talking about universal after school for kids, and I don't know that much about the city council members that are currently sitting on the youth development panel, but it was pretty clear that all of them were on the same page with this is a great step, but we cannot float our resumes and say we offer universal after school for all kids when there's X amount of kids that are growing up here and an X amount of spots, and the spots don't equal the amount of kids. So there's more work to be done. And then what I appreciate about City Council, and I'm sure this is part of the reason why you want to run, is that you guys do give voice to the people, and there's open forums for us. People like us in our industry can go and say, hey, like, great idea, but this is actually a nightmare. Your system is slowing things down for us, et cetera, et cetera. So if you are elected, what other areas beyond youth development or council panels would you want to be a part of?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to take a step back from that first possible. You know, I think one of the biggest challenges to making sure that there is this equal opportunity is finding those kids throughout the city who are falling between the cracks, who are not, you know, we have an issue right now where 1 in 10 children in New York City are experiencing homelessness.
That's absolutely wild.
Which is absolutely wild. And even if they implement this type of program, a free summer camps, after school programs, there's going to be a lot of kids who are not found, that they're, that safety net does not capture.
Yep.
And so finding ways to kind of create programs that support them. And I think that goes into issues such as the housing crisis that we're facing, that we're, you know, much more willing to put youth even in jails. There's a recent bill saying that we're going to open up 4 new jails across the city. That's a cheaper and easier way to say, oh, we're gonna scoop up people who are essentially criminalizing poverty throughout the city, as opposed to finding real options and real opportunities for kids to thrive in New York when they don't come from wealthy backgrounds. And also, I want to, you know, to really help find those, both for youth support and for youth leadership. You know, as I mentioned, yes, I wanna make sure that youth are included in every one of my platforms, wherever manageable. I specifically want to actually create a new caucus within City Council. There's this whole caucus system and essentially the way it works, even directly, the direct wording from the website is the council meets in caucuses to ensure that the needs of specific communities are represented. Right now, the way it actually looks is council members are represented. So if you're I'm Jewish, so there is a Jewish caucus. I'll probably be on the Jewish caucus. But there are no teens in city council, city council members.
No,
so
community members besides the city council members themselves.
Exactly.
Got it.
So there is no youth liaison caucus. So one of the things that I'm going to fight to implement from day one is to create a youth liaison caucus, where if you're a youth leader within the community, if you're maybe running your Sunrise Movement branch, you know which city council members who are gonna, you know, elevate your issues, who you can talk to. Right now it's really hard. If you're a teen, where do you go? Who do you talk to? You know, so I think that is hopefully a way that we can really make sure that we are highlighting the issues that are most affecting the kids in the city.
And you wanna work with high school age kids or even younger than that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the energy right now is, you know, high school age and up.
Sure.
They're the ones who are gonna be the most organized. But I think ultimately they're organizing for kids who are younger than them as well.
Yeah.
They see the issues that are going to face their generation and the next generation more so than the older city council members who, you know, may be really, really well-intentioned,
yep.
but might be a little out of touch.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't quite get to your question.
Yeah, no, you're good. I think, want to follow up there, do you think it's truly a lack of opportunity for kids? And going back to what you're saying with just resources for underserved communities, is it a lack of opportunity or is it a lack of education? Like, do you think that there are resources out there that are available and we're just not doing a good job of providing resources so that they can use them? Or is it truly like we're just doing a bad job?
I think we're just doing, I think there's lack of opportunity.
Okay.
You know, and I think, and it's not just for youth. I think that comes, you know, if there was full opportunity out there, we wouldn't have that 1 in 10 children
right.
who are experiencing homelessness right,
right
now. You know, the same thing for if you're a tenant, you know, separate, you know, kind of moving away a little bit. You know, I also fighting to make sure that we can boost right to counsel in New York City. A lot of tenants right now, they don't know their rights as a renter.
I don't know mine.
They don't.
Know about half.
Yeah.
And if you're an adult, you don't know your rights as a tenant. You think a kid's gonna know their rights?
Yeah.
It's, you know, so we don't have those nets there. We don't have those opportunities. Instead, you know, we end up seeing child poverty. We end up seeing this criminalization of being poor, being young, and not knowing what your options are. So there has to be, yes, there has to be a re-education.
Yeah.
But oftentimes that re-education, when it's something like a right to counsel, that costs money.
Right.
And so we need to make sure that we are, you know, building out those opportunities. And a lot of stuff within city council has kind of, you know, there's been a sense of apathy, it feels like, you know, when it comes to NYCHA housing. You know, we used to have the best public housing in the country. Sense of apathy, now it's kind of some of the worst housing. That's, a lot of it's been privatized. When it comes to our subway systems, we used to have some of the best public transportation in the city. Now we're like actively fighting new bus routes, which are totally impacting a lot of parents trying to get their kids to schools in the morning because sense of apathy within the city council and also on state level as well. But there's, you know, we need to be making sure that we are elevating the issues that are going to affect the kids throughout the city.
So you officially launched your campaign a couple months ago, correct?
I launched on January 31st, so less than a month ago.
Oh, not even. Okay.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks in, obviously this is the first time that you're running for anything in politics. How crazy has it been? How hard has it been?
Yeah, I mean,
stop there.
I mean, for lack of better words, I don't know what I'm doing.
Vote for him, though.
Yeah.
I know what we can accomplish.
Sure.
However, and I've worked on campaigns before, as I've mentioned. So, you know, campaigning is not something that's new to me.
Yeah.
But doing it for yourself and for your own campaign,
it's a different ballgame.
It's really intimidating.
Yeah.
You know, you want to make sure that you, you know, are making sure that you are kind of a mouthpiece in a way to your community.
Sure.
That's what it means to be a representative. You know, a lot of people kind of come in to a position thinking that they have all the answers. You know, I know what I'm really passionate about, but I also know that the community is going to be ultimately who I need to represent, the voice that I need to be a part of, and hopefully within the other campaigns I've worked on in the past, that we've helped shift the dial a little bit in terms of the conversation when it comes to these issues around housing, when it comes to issues around criminal justice, when it comes to issues around, you know, a type of working class revolution that also supports the youth in the city, when it comes to environmental protections. You know, we are moving that dial a little bit, and, you know, I hope to keep doing so.
So, I know you mentioned some apathy amongst city council members and maybe just in politics in general, which I don't think many people would disagree with. Who are some people that are doing a good job in this space, whether it's at the super local level or the state level or even at the national level?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to say I think the most inspiring politician of our time right now in New York City would be Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Who has totally changed the conversation about environmental protections by putting forward the Green New Deal. You know, I think that she has inspired so much incredible organizing, not just the platforms and the issues that she's taken on, but just in the way people organize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was totally considered, you know, they completely ignored her until a few days before the election when they were like, maybe Joe Crowley's team should have actually been out here campaigning and talking about the issues, coming to the forums.
Yep.
Instead, you know, she was there. She knocked on every single door. Her team was inspired and motivated. You know, she has this great image of the shoes that she walked around in.
Yeah, I was going to say that, that have holes in the bottom.
Yeah, and it's all about, you know, getting people to care about politics. Because maybe some city council members, maybe some other state representatives might be apathetic. But if you can make sure that the voters don't have that sense of apathy, that they instead feel a sense of urgency and wanting to get involved in the political process, we can completely change that dynamic and make sure that we have a city that once again represents the needs of the communities and not the greed of the corporations that have been trying to buy it.
So what's next after you win?
Fighting for all these things that we've been talking about. Yeah.
What is the vote for the city council?
So city council elections actually as a whole happened in 2021.
Got it.
So it is early. However, the current seat I am running for, the council member currently sitting there is running for Queens Borough president. If he wins that election, a special election would be triggered to fill his seat within 80 days. So I need to be preparing for that possibility at the moment. That election is on March 24th.
Right around the corner.
Yeah. You know, can't really speculate as to what the result of that's going to be.
Sure.
But even if he does win, and then potentially I win the special election there, I would still have to run a primary in 2021.
Following that.
And also what's really exciting about city council elections, one of the things that city council local politics has done well is this matching funds program that we have. So if you are a resident within New York City and you contribute to this campaign, your donation is actually matched 8-1.
Wow.
So, which is really exciting. They don't have that on the state level. Yeah.
That's a big match.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Insane.
We need someone to do that for us.
Sports programs.
Yeah. Yeah, if only nonprofits had those types of
can you imagine?
Opportunities as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you donate $10, you're actually essentially contributing $90 to this campaign. If you're contributing 100, 900. So it's really exciting. You still have to like reach certain benchmarks. So I still need to get that, like to see those matching funds. I still have to raise a certain amount of individual donations. I still have to raise a certain amount of money just to show that like you're actually a real player.
Yeah.
But that's something that I definitely know that we can do. We're just a few weeks in, as you mentioned, and already the outpouring of support has been tremendous, and I think people are supporting because they see the city council right now that is not doing everything they can to support the youth in the city, and that's why I'm prioritizing creating this youth liaison caucus, making sure that youth have that first seat at the table when it comes to meeting with their city council.
So after you win, we're going to speak it into existence. Is this the career? Will you be a politician for the remainder of your life?
To be seen.
It's a very tough question.
Look, I like organizing locally.
Got it.
I'm not running for a state seat because I don't want to spend my days in Albany.
Got it.
You know, I like being with the people, you know, being kind of a voice on the ground within the community. When I was 7 years old, I was running around with my friends. I created a little group called Kids Make a Difference, trying to clean up the neighborhood. You know, it's something I've always liked, kind of being involved in the community, even when I was a kid. And so, no, I don't want to spend my future at all in D.C. or Albany. You know, maybe I want to be political to the extent where I'm actually organizing within the community, if that means being a politician, maybe. But ultimately, yeah, I want to be a community organizer, and this is one way where I think that, you know, we can strengthen community organizing by having real progressives in office.
Got it. Where can everyone find you along your journey? Social, websites, all that stuff.
Yeah, you can go to Jesse, which is J-E-S-S-E, for citycouncil.com, Jesse for citycouncil.com, and then you can also I'm on social media everywhere at Jesse Cerotti, which is J-E-S-S-E-C-E-R-R-O-T-T-I. You know, I'm making sure that my political page is actually just me. It's my public pages. I haven't changed my. I've created a new Twitter to put on some new political persona. It's my regular Facebook page, my regular Twitter, it's my regular Instagram that I had well before I started running. And, you know, I'm not creating a new persona to be a politician. If you want to reach me, it's my same phone number. It's available on my website as well, so everybody has access to me. You know, it's about community organizing, and it's not about being a politician. It's about kind of helping create a movement within New York City that speaks for the people.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's an important note. People have things on their social media from years and years ago that people don't want to see, especially when they're running for office. But when Jesse told me that this was something that he wanted to do, the first word that came to my mind is consistency. Jesse's one of the most consistent people that I've ever met in my life. His views are his views, and hopefully the people that agree with him get to see him and know him, and we'll continue to fight for the youth.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you coming on. We have one last question. Some usually say it's the hardest, but what is your favorite slice of pizza in New York City?
Favorite slice of pizza in Queens. You know, I'm a Queens boy, so I would say my favorite right now is Rosario's.
Okay.
It's right off the Ditmars Boulevard stop, which is where I get off and where I get on every morning. Really good pizza. And I will also give a plug, though. Come to Astoria if you haven't been. The Greek food is tremendous.
Got it.
The food in general is tremendous. One of the reasons why I'm so excited to be still living there and hoping to continue being a part of the movement in Queens and eating some Rosario's pizza.
Our office actually did a Astoria extravaganza last spring. The whole office went to Astoria and we did a scavenger hunt through the streets.
Yeah.
So we're very well versed in Astoria.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rosario's, I think that's our first Queens pick. But Jesse, look, really appreciate you coming by and learning about your story and the campaign. And we wish you the best of luck. And after you win, we'll have you back on.
Awesome.
Thank you
so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Game. Make sure to subscribe in the iTunes store and be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Kids in the Game NY and Facebook at Kids in the Game NYC.